At Link Humans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, son, Svezan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans. Fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. This week, we are talking to a company in the credit score rating space and, of course, doing plenty of other things which we're going to learn about. Our interviewee this week, she is an avid listener to the podcast. She will talk about how she set up a function. She's run a lot of initiatives around employee reviews and diversity and inclusion, and also the response to COVID-19. So let's start the show. Hi, Lena. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hello, Jorgen. How are you?
I am great. Thank you very much. So, Lena, tell us who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast.
My name is Lena Lotze. I am the Global Employer Brand Director for Experian. I do all things related to our employer brand. Experian, most people are familiar with us as just a credit bureau, but we're actually the leading global information services provider with close to 17,000 employees in 41 countries. And we have several business units in health, automotive, business information, consumer information, targeting, consumer services. So part of the reason I wanted to come on the podcast, aside from being a huge fan, I think I've listened to every interview you've had, is I really wanted to share the Experian story and why we are such an incredible employer.
Fantastic. And I know you've got an interesting background coming into the employer brand as well. So tell us, what's your backstory, Lena?
I do. I think my background is probably unique. I came from entertainment marketing into employer branding. I worked in LA at entertainment creative agencies for years for clients where I led digital content marketing campaigns for Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of the movie studios. And one of the last projects I worked on was for Google, working on their Google Life campaign, which was obviously an employer branding campaign. And so I worked on that close to a year and was involved in the messaging and creating content around that and working with their internal employer branding team. And I absolutely loved it. And I saw this connection between what we did in entertainment marketing of finding your fans and what you do in employer branding internally with your employees. You find your fans and you mobilize them. So it was just fortuitous that at that time, a recruiter, Chris Brady from Experian, reached out to me on LinkedIn. I think I might have ignored him the first couple of times. And to be honest, and a lot of us have a similar story like this at Experian. I saw the name Experian and thought, well, I don't know if I really have relevant experience for that because I didn't know enough about Experian. And once he got me on the phone, I was sold. And the way he talked so passionately and enthusiastically about Experian as an employer, the average tenure there, how 75% of managers are promoted from within, giving me data and statistics around a place where I could really plant my feet and grow. And that seemed very compelling, in addition to the fact that I was commuting close to 4 hours a day to LA from South Orange County where I live. So I was ready to be done with that commute. So those things combined piqued my interest. I interviewed and learned a little more about the position. They, of course, were interested in my work with Google. They had seen some of those campaigns. So I'm sure that's what made me a candidate of choice, and it was a brand new position for Experian. It didn't exist. The good news is I was able to start from scratch however I wanted to, but the bad news was the same news. So going into this, I really needed to get my head around a global role and how I was going to bring my skill set to this industry in a way that I could learn about it and craft the Experian story and tell that story to attract talent.
And what was the impetus for setting up this employer brand function for Experian?
It was a long time coming. The talent acquisition team was so incredibly busy that they were all kind of doing this off the side of their desk, setting up social accounts, Experian Life culture accounts. But as anyone knows who has anything to do with social, it is a full-time, multi-person job to create content, source content, make sure it's on brand, and make sure it's compelling and effective, be able to pitch for budgets, target the right audience, tell the right stories. So it was something that they knew that they needed to do, and it had been on their roadmap for a while, and they finally were able to push and make that happen. I started working in the North America office here in California as a global role, but they were looking all over the world really for candidates who could really focus on this solely, because we did not have anyone out of our 17,000 employees who was solely focused on employer brand at that time. And as our team has grown, it's actually incredible because it's evolved over the last 2 years. I have two young women on my team, Kaylee Brady, Camilla Casada. They are absolutely incredible. So the three of us really put our heads down and started to put together content, what our wish list was, and work backwards from there. And employer brand manager roles were created as I worked with each of the regions, whether they were newly created and there were internal movements to fill those roles, or employer brand managers were hired in some regions like Brazil, where that became their sole focus. So we now have about 30 people who touch the employer brand in some way around the world. So it's been really exciting to see that grow and to see the results reflected in things like our people survey and time to accept and our onboarding process, and obviously our social channel growth, our reach, and just the visibility that our employer brand now has throughout the company has been an absolute treat to be a part of. And I can say, even though what I used to work on sounded cool, and sometimes it was, what I do now is much cooler and much more fulfilling. I absolutely love it.
Nice. Okay. So you went from one person to 30. I mean, that's not a team. That's a movement in my book.
It's an army.
Yeah. And what were some of the biggest challenges when you were starting out and still around perhaps?
Honestly, it's sharing everything we do. So many people don't realize everything we do, and you are going to assume I mean externally. I also mean our own people. We have grown, we've scaled, and we also have tapped into new industries over the years and launched new products, and we move so quickly, and we're such an innovative company that it's a challenge to prioritize the stories, to choose what we need to share both internally and externally. So we're also global. This role's global. So figuring out who owned what, who the stakeholders were, who I needed on side, and then also who my resources could be, who was enthusiastic about social, who had been here a long time, who could help me grasp the Experian story. We've been around for almost 150 years by many accounts, dating back to 1803, when a group of London tailors were swapping information on customers who failed to pay their debts. And forums like this proliferated in the UK. One in particular became a cornerstone of Experian's development. So we really have quite a history, but at the same time, we're young in so many ways and have stayed agile and innovative because we've grown. So getting my head around that story and being able to talk to, we have people that have been at Experian for 20, 30 years who I made sure I was utilizing the wealth of knowledge that they had and how Experian has changed too. and evolved over the years, some of the old perceptions and some of the current perceptions that we would need to make sure we were educating through new branding for our employer brand, making sure it's still aligned with our overall brand, and also just through honest, authentic, personal stories from our employees. So people really started to understand who we are as a company and as an employer, one story at a time, that we weren't just a credit bureau, that we are an award-winning employer and an innovative employer through sharing stories with our technologists, our engineers, and also sharing our awards, which I think are one of our best kept secrets. We've been certified as a great place to work for the last 3 years. We're on the Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For list. We also were named 6 years running as one of Forbes' most innovative companies. So people always seem surprised when they hear this. So part of what I did when I started as well, continuing to answer your question about challenges, is how do we start to tell this story in micro ways? So having badges in our signature, something that's just as simple as that. You know what? I think I may have even heard that on your podcast. Making sure that you have everyone in HR and TA to start putting the awards in the signatures, linking to your careers page, so that all of your external interactions, people see that we're an award-winning, innovative company and a great employer, two things that are a main part of our story that we want to tell. And that has spread because, you know, you send an email internally and you get a response. Yeah. Where'd you get those great badges and awards? How can I do that? So we also have our badges for our ERGs now, so you can really bling out your signature, Women in Experian or our Pride Employee Resource Group, in addition to our awards. So telling the story in some of those smaller ways can be impactful. So that was the biggest challenge of where do I even begin to share this story? And then, you know, really what I did, to be honest, I just started writing things on post-it notes the first few months that I was at Experian, and I had them just surrounding my desk. So as soon as I would think of anything, it would flip through my brain, let's do a virtual career fair on Instagram, or let's do a creator series introducing technologists. We're not doing display ads. We're not targeting on social. More video, !! You know, and I just had this all around me, and slowly, this is how our content strategy eventually developed, and we were able to prioritize.
Fantastic. And what was the importance of those early small wins, both from an internal perspective to have, perhaps to highlight the employer brand function, but also externally for candidates, so looking from the outside in?
Yeah, I read this great book. It's a pretty popular book. I think it's called like Personal MBA. This was an excellent book that I think was a game changer for how I was thinking about the role. And I realized what I needed was to look for those early wins. We've all heard about working smart, but what does that really mean? So determining what were my top three most visible and significant goals, the things that would be noticed immediately. And it may be simple, it may take a little more time, but it brings your priorities into focus, because it's so easy to get lost in the details in employer branding. You can spend all day working on a social post, crystallizing those. And one of the early wins I wanted to accomplish was our Glassdoor rating, because I knew this was something I quickly determined that was this was the most visible metric that our global HR leadership team was seeing it monthly. It was on our scorecards. Obviously, it's something we could include in our signature, and it's something that candidates are looking at before they even respond to a recruiter, especially from a company like Experian, where maybe we don't have that brand cachet, you know, that a Netflix has when you reach out to them, right? They're going to look at Glassdoor and be pleasantly surprised by people saying this is just an absolutely incredible company. And at the time, we were sitting at a 3.4, which is pretty low, considering I'm talking to people all day long who tell me this is the most incredible job. They're sharing stories. I myself have a couple of tearjerkers of managers being incredibly supportive during personal hard times, things like that. And I'm thinking, where are these stories? I'm looking through Glassdoor and thinking it's human nature to that negative complaints are going to find their way to a platform like this. It's like Yelp, right? So you have a bad dinner, you're much more likely to leave a review than if you have a great one. for a restaurant. So I wanted to find our fans. And that's where I think I put my entertainment marketing hat on. And I thought, let's remind our happy employees, of which our people surveys show is 96% of us, to share their story. Let's share our stories to attract great talent, you know, like yourself. And that was the messaging that I started to send out. And I started with groups that I called our Experian fans just internally. So our ERG leaders and members, obviously HRTA is the perfect place to start. Our HR business partners, our high performers, those who had been with the company for a long time, who I knew had an excellent view of Experian through the years, and built a database of happy employees and started to reach out to them individually and talk about the importance of Glassdoor. And we went from 3.4 when I started in January 2019. I actually started in October 2018. So we were at 3.4 in January 2019 to 4.2 in April of this year. So just a little over a year. And I have a funny story. Right around the time I was putting my strategy together for Glassdoor, we had our Glassdoor reps visiting us because we invest a lot of money in Glassdoor for our brand spotlight and job posts, things like that. And so we had our reps in the office and they've been amazing, but their boss was with them. And I'm sitting in the conference room with them and I let them know what my goal was. And my goal actually was to get us to 4 within a year. And he literally threw his head back and laughed. And he said, I'm not kidding. And nothing will motivate a person like someone saying you can't do it, right? So not only did we get to 4, we got to 4.2 a year later. So that obviously drew a lot of attention, and it was great because I think that was the catalyst to leadership has always been very supportive, but they were able to see a hard data point that said the more support we give our employer branding, the more progress that we can make. And I had a meeting with our global CEO and Brian Kasson, and then our North America CEO, Craig Boundy, and took them through what we had accomplished. And that opened the door to those conversations, right? So then I could talk about some of those less visible things, maybe like how our social channels had increased or the hashtag use, you know, some of those other things that may not necessarily grab the average person at the outset. Early wins. So Glassdoor was a big one. Also creative was on my list because a visual identity, I know from my days in entertainment marketing, the creative is everything. Messaging is really important, but creative is impactful. Having that visual identity and convey a real shift in what our tone was, what our colors were, still on brand, but brighter, a gradient. We have the hashtag Experian Life. We also have a hashtag Uniquely Experian. And then we launched a campaign called What's Your Next to really showcase our learning culture. So not only what's your next for a candidate is at Experian, but what's your next as an employee? What's your next personal goal and what's your next growth goal professionally? And we captured those stories. And if you look at our social channels, you'll see we continue to share those out. But that took off globally and translated globally. So all the regions were doing that. We've been able to create some great content that way. And you'll see we have a gradient frame that we use when we share these posts. And it's become a look and feel now after 2 years that has been embedded. So I would say the other thing that I knew would be an early win and not incredibly difficult is let's create a visual identity and get that out there internally and externally so people start to take notice of this differentiated brand that focuses on Experian as an employer.
Right. And I know also you, like many other companies, have been featured on this podcast. Many of Linkhuman's clients, in fact, all of them, you're looking to attract tech talent. How do you go about doing that and really selling Experian as an employer?
That is one of our biggest goals this year. Well, I should say ongoing, and has been. And we're making strides there. My job is to harness the great stories that we currently have from our existing tech talent, because we say that no one can tell our story as well as our employees. And this is never truer than it is in tech, because it's hard to reach tech talent. They're not responding to LinkedIn. They're hardly even on LinkedIn anymore. And things have changed somewhat, right, over the past few months, obviously, in every way. But we knew that we needed to share the stories with the engineers and the technologists that we have who have come from Apple and Google and Facebook and PayPal, and have these incredible stories about the creative freedoms they have at Experian to innovate, to work across businesses. So it's my job to tell these stories in the right way and in the right place. So part of our strategy has been to identify our internal influencers, say on Stack Overflow, of which we have several, especially in Brazil, and create compelling content and target those tech hotspots and those with the skills that we're looking for. So using keywords and programming languages. And so having a mix of our targeted job ads in those hotspots and doing our research around that, where talent outweighs demand, but also making sure that we're putting together compelling stories told directly by our tech talent that we currently employ and selling Experian that way. And also, as I mentioned earlier, being named as one of the world's most innovative companies by Forbes 6 years in a row.
That helps.
So making sure that this is something that we're embedding in our creative and in our posts, and that this is a story we're continuing to tell. We're also in the middle right now of building a tech landing page, making it easy for our recruiters to be able to have all in one place, a place where they can send tech candidates, but also a place where they can stay on top of current projects, awards won for projects, which happens all the time, sharing those big wins when it comes to products we've built, like Experian Boost. For example, you may have seen the commercials with John Cena and the Purple Cow. That might just be in the US. It actually is, I think, just in the US right now. But Experian Boost has helped millions of consumers. It's a credit score product where you can increase your FICO score instantly. So things like that, and our Experian Micro Analytics have used alternative data to extend billions in credit offers in emerging markets, reaching unbanked people. Our social innovation have reached 20 million people over the last 7 years. So statistics like this, told in specific stories by our technologists, that's my job to package those and share those. Like I said, going back to our tech landing page that we're building, meeting our technologists, hearing some of those stories, making sure that we have those current stories to tell, attracting technologists in that way, and positioning Experian as a tech company if it isn't already on your radar.
Right. Okay. I know you wanted to talk a little bit around the COVID-19 pandemic that is still upon us. We don't know how long it's going to stick around. But I know the company's responded both globally for your people and communities. Can you talk to that a bit?
Yeah, I'm really proud of this. So when we were told that we would need to leave the office, I mean, we were given days notice like everyone, and we started working remotely. Every single business unit just went into action. And our global comms overarching directive was lead with empathy. And we all received this directive as anyone who touched communications internally or externally, that everything that we did, every communication we had, whether it was with candidates, with the public, with consumers, clients, and with each other, this needed to be our guiding principle. It was really powerful because it led the creation of many things. The first of which would be we immediately launched our Stay Safe campaign with creative around that. We provided our talent acquisition team with candidate comms guidance to be a voice of reason, to be confident, to be hopeful. I immediately met with our CHRO, Justin Hastings, here in North America, and talked about the message that we wanted to convey, that we were a stable company, that we had weathered problems in the past, that we would get through this together. There were so many question marks above everyone's heads over their health, their job. So where we could reassure people, that was our focus to do so. We were very sensitive about the content that we put out there. We had enhanced COVID-19 sick time above and beyond what was required. We have an ERG Aspire, which has been incredible. They immediately got to work with this powerful resource guide, which focused on your emotional well-being, and it provided week-to-week resource guides, chock full of resources, internal and external resources, podcasts, webinars, articles with different themes, working from home with your kids, talking to your kids about what's going on, staying healthy physically, exercise, how to stay safe. That was huge. We also immediately provided flexible work and unconventional schedules. Craig Boundy, our North America CEO, made a statement that he wanted to encourage all of our teams to be empathetic to the needs of anyone. There's that word again, right? Empathy. Who has ongoing caregiving responsibilities, not just the parents, but he advised all of us be as flexible as possible so that everyone can balance their personal needs with their professional responsibilities. And both Craig and Justin to the North America teams were giving, you know, they were on their iPads in their hallways at home, you know, in their t-shirts, like we're all in this together. And it was transparent C-suite communication, and it really went a long way. And then we had a COVID-19 resource center, which was a central help station with 24/7 monitored email. Working remotely, our Experian IT division, their sole focus was a seamless transition. So we have our business unit that is our customer experience, our customer care center. So how challenging you can imagine it was to set all of these people up to work remotely. This is something that takes months, and we actually were able to do it. EITS was able to do it within 3 weeks. And one of the agents actually said, I feel a part of a great company. I think they left this on Glassdoor that really cares about us so much. And during this scary time where I thought I was going to lose my job, that I'm immediately set up seamlessly to work from home and paid the entire time. So there's so many touch points, and I could go on and on about how we cared for our people. And then for our communities, we collaborated with the credit bureaus to offer free credit reports. We offer weekly Twitter credit chats. If you've ever seen those are great. We get huge engagement of people asking questions, and we really focused on what was on the minds of so many about, you know, mortgages, and we had resources where you could go and see the banks that were allowing forbearance plans and things like that. We also have COVID-19 U.S. Business Risk Index, which assists the government and lenders in lending. And our business resource website helps businesses prepare to manage online attacks, regulatory changes, since those have increased during this time. We made enhancements to Experian Boost. And then the other thing that was really helpful was the Experian Health Payer Policy Alerts. And all of these things were free. All of these dashboards we immediately put together, we just pivoted and provided the data that we knew, free products and services for consumers and businesses that we knew were top of mind. So the Health Payer Policy Alerts was a free comprehensive list of COVID-19 and payer policy alerts for all healthcare organizations across the country. So things like that culminated. We were one of the tech companies that were featured in Forbes as helping to fight the pandemic with digital tools and doing so quickly. So there's about a million other things. We donated masks, and I won't go on and on and on, but I'm sure you could tell I can. But I recently was invited to join our corporate responsibility summit, virtual, obviously. And they asked me to share a presentation on storytelling. So I started to dig in as someone who should have all these stories at my fingertips all the time. I didn't. And I started to dig in and pull these stories together. And it's like our jaws were dropping. So I think that goes back to our ongoing challenge of we have this embarrassment of riches of all these great stories we want to tell of how we are a resource to the community and to our people. And it's not just in words only, it's in actions too.
Also, in addition to that, there's been a renewed commitment to diversity and inclusion at Experian. What does that entail?
I mean, it's a big subject, right? But we'd be remiss not to make sure that we touch on that because it's been a big part of our conversations. We have 31 employee resource groups globally and 9 in the U.S. And we've won diversity and inclusion awards. We were named by the Human Rights Campaign as a best place to work for LGBTQ. And we've been named 3 years in a row as a top company for women in tech by the Anita B organization, Grace Hopper. And we have an impressive D&I report, that with the annual report, but there's still so much more for us to do, for all of us to do. And after the killing of George Floyd, there was much discussion over how we should address and what the next step should be. It was made all the more difficult by the fact we were remote working and how isolated our Black and African American colleagues must feel right now. And I can tell you, we had some extremely intense and emotional conversations. Our global CEO, Brian Kassin, made a public statement. He spoke to us internally. Our CEO of North America, Craig Boundy, set up time for sessions to make it clear that our priority was to be there for our Black and African American colleagues, and that discussing these issues openly was everyone's responsibility. Seeking to understand was everyone's responsibility. That we weren't going to sit back and ask to be educated, that this was something that everyone needed to have an active involvement in. So we have an employee resource group called Caribou, which is our Black and African American focused ERG. And we immediately went into action preparing a resource guide filled with ways to educate yourself, to learn more about the Black experience. And in addition to that, continue to have ongoing sessions with a diverse group across different ethnicities as well, discussing those daily microaggressions that these friends of ours experience. And we're encouraged to ask the hard questions during these sessions because we believe, and our CEO believes, it's the only way we'll start to understand and create those ripples of change. We've also launched consciously unbiased training sessions. We're lucky to have an incredible talent management team and an HR team that immediately went into action and put these in place. We've launched Black at Experian in the UK and launched an incredibly powerful video internally that was performed incredibly well from a sharing perspective and an exposure perspective internally on our internal platform. And we have a new chief people officer, Jackie Simmons, and she's very passionate about diversity and inclusion. We also just hired a chief diversity officer in North America. So we have a continuing growing D&I roadmap for the coming months, from third-party audits to aggressive hiring goals and promoting from within, and a renewed leadership commitment to keep us accountable. So that is definitely something that is top of mind. And, you know, I would say D&I has always been part of our EVP. And when you look at our EVP, it's challenging, exciting work and flexibility and a culture of diversity and inclusion and creating a better and safer world. And all of these things, there's proof points to support it. But when I think about our culture and what defines our culture and what makes Experian special, we hear so many answers that can almost sound cliche, even if they're true. So I like to share stories. And I think the perfect story or proof point that we are people first and that being inclusive is paramount and being supportive and that we have a team culture, we win together, we lose together, is a story about our cafeteria workers at our headquarters in Costa Mesa, California. We have this nice big cafeteria there, which is fully staffed with great people. I miss it. who were contracted. And we visit with them every day. They became our friends. And back in March, we learned that we need to work remotely. And we had to leave the offices and literally had hours, maybe a couple of days notice. And obviously, this meant that suddenly these workers were out of a job immediately and for who knew how long. So one of the first things our CEO did, Craig Boundy, is go to these workers and the contractor and let them know they would continue to be paid. They were not going to lose their jobs. And it was so important to him. And this was one of the first things he thought of. He knew his people were going to be taken care of. But what about those that were supporting us in what we did, that we were seeing every day, that weren't technically on the payroll? How was he going to impact them and make sure that they were protected? So I think that is a great testament to the fact that we are people first and that our culture is a top-down piece of what we do and is implemented from the top down. And we didn't even know this story, I should add, until he shared it during the summit I mentioned last week, and there wasn't a dry eye. He told us his job is to keep us safe and thriving. So I think just that continued focus on helping each other as a team is what leads to us being effective to helping our communities and, you know, hopefully the world at large as we continue to innovate. So I would say that it's one of the reasons why I love what I do, and I clearly would sing experience praises, is because it really is work with purpose. And you see evidence of that all around you when you work here.
Absolutely. And I can tell from your passion there. Now, my final question for you, Lena, is where can our listeners connect with yourself? And also, where can they learn more about Experian?
I'm everywhere. I'm on LinkedIn, Lena Lotsey, Lotsey. I'm also on Instagram. Could always use a new follower. And for Experian, you can follow us at Experian Jobs is the handle, but it's Experian Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Of course, you can follow Experian on LinkedIn. And we have constant content, both resources that are helpful just as consumers for the public, but also keeping our employees connected with each other and keeping candidates connected with open positions.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Lena.
Thank you. This was a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, there you have it. Please reach out to Lena on social media somewhere, one on Instagram. And thank you ever so much for sharing her insights on the podcast today. And if you like this podcast, then feel free to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud, Spotify, and all the usual places. If you are interested in looking beyond your credit score, why not looking at your employer brand index score? So really understanding how your organization is viewed as an employer from the eyes of candidates, employees, and alumni. Check that out at employerbrandindex.co. Now I'm off to Google John Cena and the Purple Cow. Very intrigued to see what that might bring up. And I look forward to catching up with you next time.
So two turtles go camping and pack a backpack with sandwiches and beer. And after 3 days of walking, they arrive at a great spot, but they realize they forgot a bottle opener. So the first turtle turns to the second and says, "You've got to go back and get the opener or else we have no beer." And the second turtle says, "No way. By the time I get back, you will have eaten all the food." And the turtle says, "I promise I won't. Just hurry." So 9 days pass and there's still no sign of the second turtle. So the first turtle is exasperated and starving. And so he digs into the sandwiches. And suddenly the second turtle pops out from behind a rock and says, "I knew it. I'm not going."